And now, from the diamond to the dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host.
The show. This is your host Joe Gunderson and Matt Hoffman.
Hello.
Hey. It's week. The first full week of spring training is done as far as exhibition games go, and there's some things of note, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's actually been, you know, there's been some interesting, you know, some good things that we've seen so far in spring training, and we've also had some lumps,
yep.
Injuries, and whether it's injuries or players not performing, so.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we can run through the injuries since you and I were just discussing them. That way we don't forget. So there's a minor injury to third baseman Jose Miranda. Enough, though, that he's not going to play in the World Baseball Classic that starts this tomorrow, I guess. He was slated to play for his home country, Puerto Rico, but he's backed out because he's got a sore throwing shoulder. So he can't play third base right now. But he can still hit. And we'll get to the fact that that has not hindered his hitting at all. That's the minor thing. More seriously, Gilberto Celestino, who played a lot last year for the big league team, and is probably slated to begin in AAA this year. Unfortunately, he's going to have a delayed start to his season because he suffered a ruptured UCL in his left thumb, which I did not know was a thing. You only hear about a UCL in a person's elbow, but apparently they're all over your body. And so he's going to have surgery if he hasn't already, and they say it's going to be a 6 to 8 week recovery time for that. And then on, was it Saturday afternoon, utility guy Nick Gordon fell down during a play and sprained his ankle, and he's day-to-day. I haven't heard anything as far as any update as far as you know, a timetable when we'll see him again. Excuse me. And then lastly, prospect Martin.
Austin Martin.
Austin Martin, thank you. he got injured as well. He strained his UCL in his elbow, in his throwing elbow, and he'll be evaluated whether he needs surgery, and that would, if he does, that would be Tommy John surgery, which would probably end his season before it gets started, or at least severely delay it. He wouldn't need as much time to recover from that as a pitcher would, but still, it'd be a lengthy process. It's rare, but obviously, position players do have that happen to them every now and then. You just don't hear about it because it doesn't happen as often as it does to pitchers. So they haven't gone unscathed, unfortunately. thankfully, I guess the only one to worry about as far as immediate big league impact is probably Nick Gordon.
Yeah, you know, Nick Gordon, I mean, that's, it's, you know, depending on how he turns out, you know, after this high ankle sprain, which they say high ankle sprains are a lot tougher than just a regular ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, that is a huge, huge contributor, you know, no matter, you know, with his bat and, you know, and the fact, you know, in his glove too, a little bit, you know, the, you know, being that he can play a lot of places in the infield and he can play outfield.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know that, you know, hopefully everything turns out fine with him. And, you know, this is just, you know, just one little hiccup. You know, and as far as Miranda, you know, not throwing right now, I mean, yeah, he's doing some damage with his bat, but, you know, you'd like to hope that once opening day comes, he's ready to go, because if, you know, if we are just relying on his bat, I mean, you know, what's our next option at third base?
Right. That's true. I mean, they do have some guys who can play over there, and, you know, they have, I think Nick Gordon has a little bit of time over there. Kyle Farmer has played over there.
Solano.
So there's options, but of course not as good as if Miranda would be over there, which is obviously what they want. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see just how long that shoulder is an issue for him. They don't sound too overly concerned. They just, but they're obviously glad that he, and maybe they told him he can't go to the WBC. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, and I know some of these players, you know, some teams, you know, tell them, hey, we don't want you going over there. But there are some that say, hey, yeah, you know, go over there and play in this. I think, you know, that's a, you know, it's a once in a lifetime thing for some of these guys. And, you know, like, yeah. I said, others, they just don't want them to risk it. So,
yeah. And he's not alone as far as Twins players to pull out. Earlier, before spring training even started, Carlos Correa announced he wasn't going to go play because his wife is has she given birth yet? I don't think so.
No, I think she's expecting here. I think real soon. So.
So he decided to stay close to Florida so he doesn't miss that. Because I think he'd be in Arizona if he would have played, right?
Or
maybe somewhere else in Florida, maybe. I don't know. But he would have had to leave that team if the birth were to happen during spring training, which it is expected to. So he backed out. And I think, but there are a few Twins that are playing. But I didn't compile a list of all those guys that have decided they are going to play. The only one that I can think of that I think is still planning to go is Emilio Pagan, which, that's fine, then we don't have to watch him. Did I say that out loud?
I think the whole town heard you.
So yeah, he was, yeah, if we want to talk about on-field performance, Emilio was up to his old tricks in his first outing this spring. Have here that he gave up a few runs, three runs in his one inning work on Saturday.
And it sounded like it was the same pitch that got him all last year. I believe it was his curveball, correct? Or is it some type of breaking ball?
Yeah, I think he hangs a curveball, doesn't he?
Exactly. I'm pretty sure that's what it was last year that gave him problems. And I mean, obviously it hasn't changed too much.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's definitely, you know, he throws hard enough. I think his problem is just not, doesn't locate it where he wants it or where it's planned to go. And ends up in the hitter's happy zone, unfortunately.
Exactly. And it always seems like there's always, what, two or three guys on base every time he does it.
That too. that's true, unfortunately. So, of course, they're still hoping he figures that out. Otherwise, I don't know if there's any – I mean, they just – signed him to an extension, didn't they? So he's going to be around, and whether we like it or not, he's not really playing for a place on the team. He's just what his role will be, whether it will be as a important part of the bullpen or as a mop-up guy, is basically what he's trying to prove. This spring, I think. Let's see here. Some things of note. Bailey Ober had his first outing this year, this spring, and it went really well. He pitched one inning, and all three of the outs he got were strikeouts. He did give up a hit, so it's not technically striking out the side, but strong start anyway.
Yeah, very strong start. And, you know, it's also one of them things where we pretty much know in the back of our mind that he is not going to be probably in the starting five rotation, but, you know, it's something though. He's definitely going to be down in St. Paul. And if something happens, whether it's Mally or any other injuries, you know, it's good to know that he's backed up to speed and he can come back in and fill in for anybody.
He could also, you know, they may, you know, I don't know if they've said they won't do it, but it's possible he could be maybe like a long man out of the bullpen. Or if they, for some reason, did decide they want to go with a six-man rotation, then he would make the team out of spring training. But otherwise, yeah, he'd be in AAA probably as the guy who would be in AAA, barring any injury during spring training to the guys that we know will make the starting staff. One of those guys that is fighting to make an impression and stay in the organization is Aaron Sanchez, is a veteran right-hander. Unfortunately, he's not making a very good impression early in camp. In his two outings so far, he's given up a total of 5 runs in over 3 innings. That's over 2 outings. First one, he gave up 3 runs in 1 inning, and then on Sunday he pitched 2 innings and gave up a couple runs. So, unfortunately, not a good start for him. And he's one of those guys that, you know, he's basically organizational depth. So if he wants a job, he's with the Twins, he's going to have to improve.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, he filled in last year, you know, when the Twins pitching staff was really depleted, and, you know, he would go out and have, you know, one good game, and then, you know, then he'd all of a sudden, you know, go a step back and just have a terrible game. But that's kind of been his MO, you know, for the last few seasons, that, you know, he's just a AAA guy who can, you know, hey, you need me to come up for a game, or, you know, maybe fill in for a couple starts. I mean, you know, he's not going to set the world on fire for you, but I mean, he'll keep you stable at least for a little bit.
Yeah. At one time, though, he was, you know, he was good. He was, he's the guy who's, was a very good starter for the Toronto Blue Jays, but he's been beset by a lot of injuries in his career, which kind of derailed it and has him at the point where he's fighting for a job anywhere he goes. See here, I have a note here. Willie Castro, veteran infielder from the Tigers. Now he's with the Twins. He's showing a little bit of a bat this spring so far. He hit a 3-run homer on Tuesday, and also Edward Julian hit 2 home runs on Tuesday. Unfortunately, though, I think he on Sunday, I think he kind of had a rough day defensively, if I remember right. Or recently, I think he made a couple errors. I think he might. He's kind of a guy who I don't think they know exactly what position they want him to be at.
Exactly, and you know, Ed Julian, he's like I said, he's one of our. He's still considered a prospect. So
yeah, he's like 21. So
exactly, and yeah, they've had him at second base a little bit. I know, you know, a lot of Twins people are talking, you know, about him possibly playing a little first base when he does come up to the MLB. And then Willie Castro, I mean, that's, you know, he's, yeah, doing a little bit with his bat, and he's kind of one of them guys, you know, between him and Solano. I mean, if any of those guys, you know, which one of those guys are going to make that 26-man roster, you know, depending on Gordon, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how this goes, you know, the rest of spring right. training with these guys, you know, and, you know, like I said, if Gordon's not ready to go by opening day, I mean, who's going to get that spot?
Yeah, then they might both make it. Whereas I think if Gordon's fine, then Willie Castro probably is the odd man out just because he's a left-handed hitter, and as is Gordon, so they wouldn't need that. Like they might if Gordon's not ready to go. And then it'll be up to Willie, I guess, if he wants to stay with the Twins, if he has an opt out or not?
He actually has one option left right now. Willie Castro does, but I am pretty sure Solano does not have any options because of the fact that he signed a major league contract. So yeah, you're right. I think Willie Castro would be the odd man out. I mean, because you could still, you know, with him using that extra option, he obviously could stay with AAA St. Paul.
Or could he opt out of his contract and go to another team?
I don't know
if that's a thing with his contract.
See, now with that part, I am not 100% certain. I would have to look at details on that, but I mean, I would think so that, hey, you know, if he wants to get released, he can get released.
So, but we'll see what happens there. Then you filled me on speaking of injured player, I guess we didn't mention, you filled me in just a second ago, that Twins made a move on Jordan Belizavit. And he's been optioned down to AAA already.
That is correct.
Okay. Kind of an odd thing. They usually don't, make moves like that this early in camp, but, he is not physically able to pitch the way it is, with his, jaw broken and his mouth wired shut at the moment. So I guess they decided, you know, wasn't a strong candidate to make the big league team anyway, whether he was healthy or not. And so they just made this move And then I believe you said it was Friday.
That is correct.
And then I guess there was another injury I missed too that I don't know if it's a big deal or not, but Trevor Larnach, I guess, reported that he has some soreness in his lower half of his body. I haven't heard if he's going to miss any time. I think he missed a game that he was supposed to play due to it, but I don't know. I haven't heard if it's going to be significant or not. I would guess if it was, we would have heard.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, lower soreness could be anything. Could be calves, could be hamstring. I mean, which, that stuff takes a while to recover sometimes, but hopefully it's not a big setback, because he's also another guy who could possibly, make the 26-man roster. I think he's a little ways away now, with Solano and making the argument with Willy Castro, like we did earlier. He would basically be a little bit of a outfield role or a DH role is what he mainly would be with the 26-man roster. But,
be a backup.
Exactly.
I think they would just as soon send him to AAA where he's going to play every day. If at this point, I think that's what's going to happen there.
And we mentioned that a few weeks ago with the signing of Solano, that, the chances of him became a little slimmer, of him making the 26-man roster.
Right. Yeah. Him and Matt Wallner as well. Probably. We're not excited when that signing went down. let's see, what else did I see here? Speaking of Carlos Correa, like we did earlier, he did play his first couple of games this weekend. Got an infield hit in his first at bat. I don't know if you saw the funny thing with his first at bat, where he isn't programmed with that pitch clock yet. He almost got a violation called on him, but then he caught himself and got back in the box. He was starting whatever his old routine was, and wandering out of the box, and then went, "Oh, geez, that's right, I'm timed now." So.
It's been interesting to watch a lot of these guys who, they have these longer routines of whether you're a batter or a pitcher you have to, you gotta shorten that up because obviously it's going to cost you, whether it's a ball or a strike, depending on if you're the batter or the pitcher. And that's what, spring training's about. I mean, it's not only getting yourself ready for the season, but also all these rule changes that we have. It's good to, knock some, cobwebs out and get used to these new rules and just kind of learn as you go. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's better they happen now and I think there was a couple times that it happened to, the Twins, again this weekend, where there was some violations of the rules. I think nothing like what happened with Boston, where a game ended on one.
Exactly. Yeah, that was different. I mean, I'm glad, and obviously in a normal game it would have been extra innings, but. It was kind of comical to see the ending of that game like that, And I still think the batter's facial expressions at the umpire was pretty priceless.
It does bring up, like, you know, will this month long be enough for guys to get used to these, and what, you know, what will happen during the regular season will be interesting. You know, will we be seeing a lot of confrontations with umpires about how these are being enforced?
You know? Yeah, and you know, and some of this stuff, you know, I'd like. It's hard to say because, as an umpire myself, you know, there are things that, you know, player, you make calls on and players will think, oh, that's being ticky tacky, you know. But I mean, this pitch clock thing, I mean, it's right now is the time to get it all out of our system, and you know, that way it's all said, and, you know, we know what we have to do by time, you know, the season starts. And yeah, there's going to be some situations that come up that, you know, hopefully don't determine, you know, make a, you know, a win or a loss for a team, you know, or, you know, change the outcome of a game. But I just, you know, I think most of it will kind of settle down once the season gets started, because we kind of know what to expect.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't be too big of an issue. I'm sure there will still be moments, but so I think I asked you this last week. I don't know if your feelings on it have changed at all, whether you like the new rules at all.
The pitch clock thing, like I said, I'm still kind of getting used to it and how it, mm-hmm. you know, it works. I mean, I know how it works, but I mean, it's yeah. just, I'm still getting used to it. The bigger base thing, that doesn't bother me at all.
I haven't even really noticed that come into play yet myself. But
No, it just looks like a bigger pizza box on TV. So
yeah, I love that. What was it, Alex Cora that said that?
Exactly.
Red Sox manager called it, looks like a giant pizza box. And, you know, he's not wrong.
No, he's not.
They are bigger. But yeah, I guess I think I'm going to like that game flows better. I mean, I've seen, you know, every now and then when I'm surfing YouTube, I'll stumble across old games, you know, and just watching them for a little bit, you don't really realize just how things have changed. And as far as guys, you know, have slowed this game down with their routines and all the pitching changes and stepping out and all this stuff. You know, the way it used to be was a lot quicker. Even though there was no pitch clocks or anything, they played at a quicker pace. And so if the players weren't going to do it themselves, unfortunately, I think these things were needed to keep things moving. So we don't, especially, you know, so for me anyway, I kind of like it, that the pace is quicker. It'll be nice, especially during like a Red Sox Yankees game, that those won't take 5 hours.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I also heard somebody talking about the same thing, how, you know, back in the day that the game used to be a lot quicker, you know, without the pitch clock and all these rules that we have applied. And it's just amazing how from then till, you know, last year, that it just, how it, the, you know, the player, it's just, or I shouldn't say the players, but just how it all in general just, you know, changed, the game changed.
Yeah. It just has gotten noticeably, you know, and it happened over time. So we didn't, you know, we didn't notice it happening, I don't think. But when you compare the two eras, you do see, wow, things were, you know, for the most part, average time of game has increased over the years. Back to things here. Tyler O'Malley made his spring debut, pitched a scoreless inning in his debut. Looked good. Sounds like his velocity is strong, which is good. Sounds like pretty much every Twins pitcher is throwing as hard as they normally would, which is odd this early in camp. You know, usually players need time to ramp up their arms, but sounds like we're hearing all the Twins pitchers are throwing about as hard as they normally would already.
Yeah, usually, like I said, you know, or like you mentioned, you know, they don't really want to throw. They probably throw like 3/4 of what they can do, you know, at least for the first few weeks of, you know, of the spring training. And then obviously, you know, once their innings ramp up, they, you know, their pitch, you know, they'll throw more, you know, they'll throw quicker and, you know, throw more, you know, off speed stuff, you know, kind of get the work in more. But, you know, out of all that, no, it's good to see that Malley is actually so far so good. He isn't, you know, that he's not had any issues. And, you know, I mean, I know it's only what he pitched, what, one inning, you said?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So hopefully we don't have to worry about him having any muscle tiredness, you know, or arm tiredness.
Right.
Going into the season.
Right. That's the big thing. And to see, nice to see that his velocity is higher than it was when he got to the Twins. And I guess more what they expected when they got him is where it's at right now. excuse me. What else did I? Oh yeah, we already talked about Pagan's bad day. Your guy Dennis Santana had a rough outing again. Couple outings, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm definitely eating some crow on that one.
Well, it's early, you know. It might be just a location issue. He's got several weeks to correct that. Definitely hasn't started. He started slow.
And I'm still a bigger believer in him than I am with Trevor McGill. I still project him to make the 20, you know, make the bullpen, you know, unless they decide they want to go with, you know, a different direction of long relief with a guy like, let's say, Cole Sands or there was somebody else.
Bailey Ober, maybe.
Bailey Ober, or there was somebody else I was missing on that. But anyways, I mean, it's still early.
Winder,
to
maybe?
Tell. Yeah, there you go, Winder. That's what I was thinking of. But, you know, it's still early to tell yet. I mean,
yeah.
True. It's, you know, he's had, you know, hopefully he doesn't have too many more brutal outings like that. But we'll go from there.
Yeah. And speaking of a brutal outing, unfortunately, Louis Varland had one. He gave up, have down here that he gave up 5 runs in his spring debut. 3 of those came before he got an out. Unfortunately, ball was seemingly flying around. He was facing the Braves, so that's a good lineup. And they had a lot of their starters in, so he paid for some mistakes.
Yeah, and, you know, those are probably some mistakes that can be easily corrected, or, you know, it's just, I mean, every good pitcher or decent pitcher has a bad outing, and, you know, right now I'm not too worried about it, so, and I don't think Twins fans should be worried about it yet either.
No.
If, you know, if he's doing this on, you know, doing this, you know, his next start and another start after that, then I would maybe be a little worried, but I think he's fine right now.
Yeah. And again, he's probably expected to be in AAA to be anyway. But of course you want him to have a good spring. I guess I learned something about him that I didn't know, or that his brother's with the Milwaukee Brewers. I did not know he had a brother that was in pro ball. And I guess I forgot the guy's name, but I guess he's a little older than Louis, so Louis has bragging rights that he made it to the majors first. but anyway, I thought that was interesting. I was watching his start, and the announcers talked about the fact that he's got a brother with the Milwaukee Brewers organization. So, if the Twins had mentioned that, I missed it. So,
nope, I did not know that either.
So let's, I guess, move over to the hitting side a little more. A couple of guys who are having great starts to spring training that I think everybody's had their eyes fixed on. Joey Gallo and Max Kepler are loving this no-shift business, I think. Although, what team was it they were playing? Did find a loophole when Gallo hit, where they moved their left fielder to play the rover position on the right side, so there was no left fielder against him, at least in one at bat. I guess the rules are that only the infield shifts are limited, but outfielders can stand wherever they want to.
And I agree with that, as it should be. I mean, you can't put a shift rule on outfielding, because outfielders, you know, you just can't do it. I mean, but it's good to see that, you know, Kepler and Gallo have definitely so far, and I'm sure like many left-handed hitters, have taken advantage, you know, are showing improvement from probably the season before with the ban of the shift. I know I'm enjoying it, and hopefully, you know, other fans are enjoying that, watching this too.
Yeah, it does. Definitely happy for those guys. Gallo, I think he's hitting over 500, and Kepler's like 5-for-12 this spring. Gallo went 3-for-3 in his latest game, and Kepler hit a home run in his last game. And Gallo, I think he's got a couple home runs now already. So you almost like, save it for when it counts, guys.
Yeah, exactly. But
I'm glad
that it's good to see. You know, hopefully it's a little bit of, you know, of a view of what we're going to see this coming season.
And
with that being said, I was trying to find what they're hitting exactly right now, but I am not seeing it right in front of me. So we'll move on from that.
Okay. Yeah. I just know that they're doing rather well, and it's nice to see, you know, their first week or two of, this spring has gone well. A couple of guys who haven't played yet, and I don't know if you're concerned at all about either one of them. They haven't seen Byron Buxton or Jorge Polanco out there yet. Byron, I'm guessing it's just they figured they don't need to play him much. So,
No, I'd say if Byron gets any time, you know, playing in spring training, it would probably be in a DH role. I wouldn't be putting him out in the outfield. I mean, we as brittle and fragile as he already is, I mean, why do we want to, you know, risk, you know, throwing him, especially this early in spring training, throwing him out there in center field, you know, with the possibility of, you know, him getting hurt and who knows, you know, being out for how long. So I'm all right with that. Polanco, I would kind of like to see him a little bit, just to see how that was ankle, correct?
Yeah, it's always that ankle.
Yeah, that's last couple of years. Yeah, so, you know, I kind of want to see what he can do with that ankle, and I'm wondering maybe with Gordon hurt now that maybe we might see him just a little bit. I mean,
I'm sure we will.
Yeah,
I mean, we're gonna see them eventually. You know, it's only been a week. I don't think it's time to panic or anything at all, but it's just interesting. I think those are the only two guys who haven't seen action yet. And like I said, I'm not really surprised Buxton hasn't. I think they know by now what he feels he would need to get ready for the season. And they don't want to, you know, they don't want him getting hurt in a game that doesn't matter. You know, so, although, I mean, I think he would, you don't want to say wouldn't play as hard, but he wouldn't, in a spring training game. He wouldn't play as hard.
Exactly. Yeah. As
he will when it counts.
And Rocco, Rocco wouldn't put him in them situations. So, I mean, it's, you know, if it means him not seeing, you know, any time in spring training versus, you know, him playing.
I think he will, just to make sure his bat is ready. I think he'll have to at least do that.
I agree. So, I mean, he's going to have to play a little bit. Like I said, I mean, if he does play, I'd rather just see him in a DH role, you know. I mean, if he's got to play, you know, if we want him to, if he's got to play outfield. He'll get a few
innings out in center field, but yeah. I just think he's not going to be crashing in any walls.
No, so, well, I hope he doesn't crash in any walls, period, but
he's not going to, you know, he's going to let doubles be doubles. He's not, you know, but trying to rob guys will wait till April, I think. So, I think he's learned that.
I hope so.
he even knows sometimes when I think he's learning, even in the regular season, you don't have to not everything's catchable, but
no, you know, and I love his effort.
I don't
effort.
Care how fast you are.
Exactly. And, you know, I love the effort, but, you know, the problem is, like, you know, if you're a guy who's meant to be in wrapped in bubble wrap, I mean, you can't be doing that stuff.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I don't know. I've heard the step, but I don't know exactly, like, of all the number of games he's missed, but it's fairly certain he's missed more games than he's been available out of the possible games that he could have played in.
Exactly.
Which, that's never good because you can see the talent. And it's unfortunately going to be something that's brought up anytime you bring up his name. Let's see, what else did I while I'm looking here, was there anything else you're seeing?
Well, we got some and we're going to try and do this every week, you know, try to gather a little bit of league news. I know it's kind of slow right now with, you know, the World Baseball Classic going on, but like you said, you mentioned Justin Turner. He did take a pitch to the eye off Detroit Tigers pitcher Matt Manning.
Yeah, that happened.
Yep, he was, and I got that he was taken to the hospital, and he is recovering from some soft tissue injury.
Okay.
And he is also being monitored for concussion, and they are going to go some further testing.
Okay. Yeah, I just saw the replay a few minutes before we started, and yeah, scary.
Very scary. I have,
it's always scary, you know, when that stuff happens.
I, you know, me, played a little bit of baseball. I've never, ever, I've been hitting a few, you know, my legs and my arms and stuff, and maybe taking one in the, you know, maybe around my waist, but, or, you know, I've never seen a guy take one. I've seen one person take one to an eye or to the face, and it was and it wasn't even the pitch that hit him. It was actually the ball went off the bat and went straight up into his face. Yeah, that was a really odd deal. And if I remember right, it busted his nose.
Ew.
Yeah.
That was a high schooler?
This was back when I played teener league. So it would probably been middle school. So
middle school. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. So other than that, I've never seen a guy take a pitch to the face in person. But yeah, it sucks.
It's always scary, of course. I guess it's apropos to mention it because today is actually the anniversary of the greatest twin of all time's death. Kirby Puckett died on this day, I believe, in 2005. And we all know that his career actually ended, ironically, for a guy who was never on the injured list. His last career at bat ended with him getting hit in the face. Though anybody who tries to tell me that it's why his career ended, I will refute that.
Yeah, that was,
glaucoma has nothing to do with getting hit in the face. So
yeah,
it's just, no, it happened. So.
Yeah, that was a sad deal. I mean, with Kirby passing, I mean, he basically represented, in that time, he represented Minnesota Twins baseball. And, you know,
I think he,
on the field, off the field, you know, I know he had his problems, you know, at the end, you know, with, you know, his personal life, but
yeah.
I mean, he was Kirby, you know. I mean, he was a once in a lifetime kind of player and character, and, you know, may his memories live on.
Yeah. I just remember that. I'll never forget that, being just shocked. You know, first hearing that he had a stroke, and then I think he lasted, what, I think 2 days after that, mm-hmm. and then passed away. And he was 45 years old, which I'm creeping up on. So makes you think. If a former professional athlete can have a stroke that young, why can't, you know, it could happen to anybody. But Kirby, unfortunately, had let his, any idea of him keeping in shape, he let that go right after he quit baseball. You saw him after he quit, he grew.
Yeah, he was definitely enjoying retirement.
Yeah, so I think that was probably what led to that. I would guess, if I had to guess. That, and I think he had a family history of people in his family dying young, unfortunately. So that could be also what contributed to that. But yeah, he is a complicated, unfortunately, you know, you don't, you know, during his playing career, he was, you know, revered, and I don't know if anybody was liked better or respected more during his playing career by pretty much any fan, whether you're a Twins fan or not. And it only came to light after his playing career was over that he wasn't the most perfect guy, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Yeah. It turns out he had a dark side, which it is too bad because, yeah, you know, I'm sure like many, I know he was my baseball hero growing up. You know, he would have been the first one I can remember watching. You know, so yeah, and still, I think regarded as the best player to ever wear a Twins uniform. Still, although I mean, some would argue that it's Harmon Killebrew, which is a good argument.
I was gonna say I've never watched Harmon Killebrew play, and I might say that's a good argument there. Him or Tony Oliva.
Yeah, Tony Oliva and Rod Carew definitely enter the argument, but I think just Kirby's all around game. You know, Harmon definitely was better at hitting homers than anybody who's ever worn a Twins uniform. But you know, he wasn't known for his defense, where Kirby was known for hitting and his fielding. As great at both, and as a combo, like no other Twins player, I don't think, you know, had quite that level. You know, Tony Oliva and Rod Carew might have been better overall hitters, but they weren't known for their defense. You know, so I think even they might agree that Kirby was probably a better all-around player than them. You know, but anyway, so.
All right. And then just a couple more things around the league. We had Brad Hand, who, you know, the Twins, you know, there was some, you know, a little bit of talk that the Twins
reached, you know, out and
reached out to him. Correct. And he signed a deal with the Rockies. I believe I don't have any.
I think it was. I think he got a major league contract with, yep, an option for a second year.
Okay.
And I think that's where the Twins, I don't think they went higher than if they went higher than a minor league contract, they were only offering a one-year contract at the most. Because Hand has struggled a little bit the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
They were willing to give him a shot, and it would have been one of those that people would have liked, I think, because he's a Minnesota native. So would have been neat, another neat story to bring a Minnesotan home, but didn't work out this time. And so he will, like you said, he's going to be in Colorado Rockies bullpen. You know, if things go the way they're projected to go in Colorado, he's probably going to be a trade candidate later this summer. Because things aren't expected, the Rockies aren't expected to contend at all.
No,
they're not very good. They weren't very good last year, and they really did nothing to improve the team.
No,
this offseason. So,
and then the only, and then the only other signing I have that's, you know, might be a little news to the AL Central would be Jackie Bradley Jr. signed. Oh, yeah. A contract with, I believe it's a minor league contract, but I can see him easily being on their 26-man roster. He signed with the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, he's probably going to kind of replace what they lost when they sent Michael A. Taylor over to the Twins. So I would,
you know, at this point, Jackie Bradley is a guy who can. He's always been known for his defense, and he plays pretty much all three outfield positions. So, if nothing else, he's maybe a defensive replacement guy at this point, you know, because he doesn't hit much.
No, he's never really been a hitter, you know, through – I mean, he may have had a year or two where he put up some decent numbers, but no, yeah. He's always been one of them, you know, Michael A. Taylor type guys. You know, he's not good with his bat, but he's, you know, he's definitely a defensive guy. And, you know, like you mentioned, he can play all three positions in the outfield.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for that. Those were interesting things to see. Other than that, Twins had a day off today. I think each team like gets a couple days off. Today was Twins' first off day of spring. They will resume play tomorrow, and some players from every team will be leaving their camps for the World Baseball Classic, which kicks off tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see some guys who probably wouldn't get as much playing time because the regulars need it, that are now going to get more because those regulars aren't going to be in camp for many teams. So that's nice for them. And I don't know. Been a WBC guy, like watched it a lot. It's kind of hard when, you know, they spread it out through these countries, so they're on at odd times. You can't watch every game. So,
you know, I would, you know, watch a game here and there, you know, if it's obviously on and at a decent time. As far as really, really following it, no. I mean, I'm going to try and do better this season, you know, of kind of following it. So, but we'll see. Depends on what, you know, who's playing and what time it's on.
Yeah. Because, yeah, there's some of these, you know, they're going to be overseas in Japan and I believe you said Taiwan.
Correct.
And in other places. And then there's games stateside to begin. So those games in the other countries are going to start at times where we can't really watch them live because they're going to be when we're asleep. Or for some people, when they're at work, you know, if they work or not. Because I think we were talking before this and saw that like the first game of the tournament starts at like 10 o'clock our central time tomorrow night. So that's not going to work out for an old guy like me. That's about when I think I'm going to go to bed. You know, so.
Exactly, yep.
So, yeah, it's hard to watch all those games. You know, yeah, I'll pay attention to the scoreboard and who won and everything. You know, of course, root for the USA because we should win the game we invented, is the way I always think of it. But I don't think we have won this tournament yet. So
no, I honestly don't really know. I mean, because who won it last year? Was it?
Shoot.
That's good. I don't know why Puerto Rico is going through my head, but I don't think that's right either.
Well, it's not every year. So that's the thing. It's kind of on the Olympic timeline. It's like every 4 years.
Yeah, oh, okay. Happened.
So it's hard for me to remember. I think you might be right that it was Puerto Rico or the Dominican, one of the two.
That would be my first two guesses.
Yeah. They're usually stacked with their lineups. They usually get the guys that, they're a gold mine for the major leagues, so a lot of those guys will represent their countries and they're proud to, which they should be. So they get stacked lineups. Not that the USA doesn't have a stacked lineup, but, you know, apparently it's not as – hasn't been as good lately. But we'll see. Thankfully, it's doesn't mean a whole lot other than pride in your country. And, you know, of course, organizations just kind of probably pray the whole time that none of their guys get hurt doing this, because they play a little harder for that than they would in a spring game.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if it's somebody that, you know, doesn't see a lot of playing time in the major leagues, you know, this is your chance to, you know, not only, you know, go out and prove something.
Yeah. I think like guys will, there's even been times where guys are retired, but they get themselves in shape just for this.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that a couple times. Yeah. So it's, yeah, so that's an interesting plot twist to the spring. We're 25 days away from opening day.
Can't wait.
So basically about a little over, what would that be, about 3-4 weeks. And March 30th is opening day this year. And so things will just truck along here, and we're here to keep you informed as far as anything that goes on. As the camp develops, anything that goes on and changes, we will do our best to keep you informed of that, and I'll give our take on it. And yeah, I think that's good for this week. I think we've covered everything that we had notes on.
Like I said, I think we caught up on everything that's happened, you know, in the last week, and hopefully in the, maybe an episode or two before the season starts, we'll have our kind of very own prediction list of where we think teams will finish in the standings, and we'll probably have our own prediction of way we think the Twins roster will be on opening day.
Yeah. We're going to give that a little bit of more time, just because I think both of us would probably be wrong if we predicted it now.
Definitely. There's a few things that are
injuries.
Injuries is a big thing. So that's why it's always better to do it the week, you know, we'll do it the week before.
Yeah. And by then the answers probably may have already been provided, you know. So, yeah. So just hang in there, listeners, because like you guys, we're anxious and anticipating baseball season really starting. Just got to get through this next 3-4 weeks here before it matters. So, If you don't have anything else, Matt, I think we can wrap this up.
I'm good.
All right. If anybody, I guess I've never asked you this, but if you want to, you can tell everybody, if you want to, where they can find you on social media.
And you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is MD Hoffman 61. Almost read my email for some reason.
Well, if they want to, no. But
if you email me, please be nice.
You can find me personally on Twitter at Big Joe Gunn. You can interact with the show Twitter account at Twins Nation Pod. And If you want to, we'd love to hear anything you want to chime in about. And you can find the podcast anywhere you find your podcasts. And tell anybody you want about it if you like what you're hearing. And we'll try to get better as we go here, work out any kinks we have, and try to make this go as well as we can here. With that, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Later.
Later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Twins Nation Podcast. You can follow the show on Facebook and on Twitter. On Facebook, just search for Twins Nation Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Twins Nation Pod. And Joe is at Big Joe Gunn.